Happy New Year. Our Bible reading today is from Luke's Gospel. We're reading from Luke 10, verse 38 through to 11, verse 13. You'll find that on page 1042. And as you're turning there, if you need a Bible, by the way, raise your hand. A steward will bring you one. But let me just explain that we're changing the order of things around a bit in a moment. After I've read Scripture, we're going to sing. I'm then going to preach. We're then going to sing again. And then we're going to have our main time of prayer in response to what we've heard, and then we'll sing again to end our service. So just to warn you that the order of things is slightly different this morning. Luke 10, and from verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God. I'd invite you, please, to open your Bible again at Luke chapter 11. You'll find that on page 1042. And turning there, let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father, we've read the words of Jesus, ask and it will be given to you. And Father, we ask for your help now, that on this first Sunday of a new year, you would help us to sit humbly and reverently and attentively at the feet of our Lord Jesus, that we might learn all that you would have us learn. Thank you for the promised help of your Spirit. Please grant us his help now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Meet Sarah. Sarah's only recently become a disciple of our Lord Jesus. Having trusted the Lord Jesus as her Savior, the Holy Spirit has given her a sense that God wants her to speak to him. So she started to pray. That doesn't mean that Sarah finds it easy. There are sometimes it's really hard to pray. And Sarah often worries whether she's praying for the right things or praying in the right way. When it comes to prayer, Sarah needs help. Meet married couple, Phil and Jane. Phil and Jane have been following our Lord Jesus since university. At university, they really began to grow as Christians. They developed regular daily habits of quiet time, reading the Bible, praying. But those good habits have slipped. Under pressure at work, Phil leaves the house early and gets home late. With two children under five, Jane has little time for herself. Each Sunday they sit in church realizing that they've hardly prayed since last Sunday and they feel guilty. They resolve, we'll do better this week. But duties fill their days. Distractions come, and even if they remember at the end of the day that they haven't prayed, well, they just feel too tired and roll into bed. When it comes to prayer, Phil and Jane need help. Meet Jim. Jim's been a disciple of the Lord Jesus for a long time, and by God's grace, he cannot imagine a morning when he doesn't pray, when he doesn't commit himself and many others to God in prayer. He's methodical, he's consistent. He prays for those for whom he's promised to pray. But it worries Jim that his prayer time has become a bit like a shopping list. He prays for the same people, using the same words and phrases day after day after day. And at times he feels as though his mind is disengaged. Are my prayers any different, he thinks, from the repetitive babbling of the pagans that Jesus warns against? When it comes to prayer, Phil needs help. Now, what do Sarah and Phil and Jane and Jim, really need? Do they need a seminar like the kind of one you hear advertised on Premier Radio? 10 steps to a powerful prayer life. Do they need the latest book on the bookstall about picking up your flagging prayer life? Are there any slick or easy answers available for them? The truth is that they each need to come humbly to the Lord Jesus as those first disciples came and simply say, Lord, teach us to pray. Isn't it much easier to talk about praying than to actually open your mouth and pray? My guess is that most of us would agree this morning that nothing is more important than prayer, And yet we discover that nothing is more difficult to do than to pray. Many of the struggles that we face in our Christian lives, they revolve around giving prayer its rightful place. And we have an enemy. Satan is the enemy of all that is good for our souls. And he tries to keep us from prayer. He knows that time spent in close communication with God is the best thing for us. So what does he do? Well, you sit down to pray and the phone beeps and there's a text or an email. Or some other distraction comes. And if we do pray, Satan makes us think we're praying without purpose or in a mechanical or careless manner. So whether this morning you are a new Christian, or whether this morning you're a struggling Christian, or whether this morning you're a mature Christian, you need to sit with me at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, teach us to pray. I can't remember exactly how long I've been a disciple of Jesus. But I've come to the view that prayer is something we'll never be able to say, we've made it. We've got it cracked. As long as the spiritual battle goes on, which it will until Jesus returns, we need to be listening to and obeying his teaching about prayer. And that's what we're going to be doing for the first part of this year. If you glance at your Bibles, you see after this request, we have Luke's version of what we call the Lord's Prayer. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking phrase by phrase at the Lord's Prayer. But this morning, we're simply going to focus on this request. Lord, teach us to pray. Three things. First of all, it is a request made in response to the prayer life of Jesus. No human being has ever prayed as Jesus prayed. Look at verse 1. One day Jesus was praying. Does this mean that it was a rare thing for Jesus to do? Well, no. Prayer was his regular practice. The Gospels reveal that Jesus found private places and times to pray. So again, look how verse 1 goes on. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. As we read the Gospels, we discover that throughout his ministry, Jesus found and used certain private places to pray. If we had been one of those first disciples, there would have been many occasions when we'd have woken up in the morning, wherever we were staying, only to discover that Jesus was always already up. He'd gone off on his own to spend time talking to God. Let me just tell you of a few. Luke 4:42, you don't need to turn there. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place, and Mark in his gospel explains where he prayed. At Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6:12, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Luke 9:18, once when Jesus was praying in private. And just before he went to the cross, as he spent time in Jerusalem, we're told each evening he went out to spend the night on a hill called the Mount of Olives. And the implication is he went to pray. Luke, who wrote this gospel, he's a careful investigator. And as he'd investigated the life of Jesus by talking to those who knew him best, one of the things they all told him was, Jesus was a man of prayer. Despite constant busyness, despite the demands of the crowds, despite tiredness that he must have felt at the end of each day, prayer was his priority. And he spent time in prayer. Look again at verse 1. We're told, when he had finished praying, one of his disciples spoke to him. Now, we don't know exactly what the circumstances were. Perhaps Jesus was kneeling in prayer. We know he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane. Perhaps like many Jews of the time, he was holding up his hands in prayer. And he lowered his hands and the disciples knew that he'd finished. We don't know for sure. But what we do know is that he spent a particular time in prayer. We live in the age of the mobile phone, emails, text, and something I was shown this week called WhatsApp. Anyway. But isn't it true that in our world, everything seems very rushed? Everything seems very immediate. And we spend our lives having snatch conversations here, snatch conversations there. But look at Jesus. He spent time in prayer. He certainly prayed at times other than these specific times of prayer. We have records in the Gospels of occasions when Jesus simply prays, calls out to God his Father, and that's a great thing to do. But he also gave these specific times to prayer. Let me just take you on a little journey. Think of what we might call the crucial points in the earthly life of Jesus. Think about his baptism. What was he doing as he was baptized? We're told he was praying. No doubt entrusting himself to his Father for all that lay ahead. As the crowds flocked to Jesus to hear him, to be healed by him, the pressure on him must have been immense. There was a real risk, the gospel tells us, of him losing his focus on what he'd come to do. So what does he do? Well, he often withdrew to those lonely places to pray. That moment came when he needed to appoint the apostles who would be those who would be the first proclaimers of his good news to the world. What does Jesus do the night before he chooses those 12 apostles? He goes up on a mountain and spends the night praying. It was an occasion when Jesus was praying in private with his disciples that he asked them that crucial question, who do the crowds say that I am? And then when they answered him, he said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And as the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem, knowing that there he would die on the cross. And what preceded that resolute setting out? Well, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up a mountain to pray. And then, and I think it's one of the most moving passages of the whole of Scripture, on the night before he's arrested and suffered so much and was taken to die on the cross, where do we find him? We find him in a garden. And we find him on his knees. And he's praying, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And then even as the nails are being hammered into his hands and feet, we find him praying, Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they're doing. And then his last recorded words, as he hangs dying on the cross at the end of those 3 hours of darkness, it's prayer he ends his life with. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You see, as we think about the Lord Jesus, we discover that his direction was maintained in prayer. When massive pressures could have deflected him from the path the Father had set out for him. We discover that his decisions came to birth in prayer, like those decisions to appoint the apostles. We discover that his determination was strengthened in prayer, for as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was strengthened by his Father for the cross that lay ahead. I spend time on this deliberately, because one of the emphases of Luke's gospel is on the genuine humanity of our Lord Jesus. He is God, but God who miraculously became a real human being. So as you and I look at Jesus during his life on earth, what do we see? We see humanity as it's meant to be. And as we look at this perfect human being, as we look at this man who lives as you and I ought to live, what do we discover? We discover that he was a man of humble, prayerful dependence upon God. And he deliberately allowed his prayer life to be witnessed by these closest disciples so that they would say to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Which leads to the second thing. It's a request by disciples of Jesus. Now, I don't mean to be irreverent, but the Lord Jesus was a bit like a Blue Peter presenter. You know that bit from childhood when the Blue Peter presenters used a whole lot of odds and ends and always sticky black plastic that my mum refused to buy because it was too expensive, and they would make something useful. They showed us what to do. They even had some models that they prepared earlier, all so that we might follow the pattern that they set. And that's what our Lord Jesus did. As he resolutely set out for the cross, for his departure to heaven via the cross, he was preparing his disciples for all that lay ahead. He was teaching them, look, you are to follow in my footsteps. And key to following in his footsteps was following this priority of prayer. Our middle daughter has just passed her driving test, so the L plates are no longer needed, although she has a P plate on the back, whatever that means. But if this morning we are those who profess to be disciples of Jesus, we've got to remember that we go through life with our L plates on. We're lifelong learners. We're continuing students of our master. And our master says to us, look, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. And if you and I are really those who are growing as disciples of Jesus, it means we will be growing in following his model of praying. You see, just think about it. If our Lord Jesus needed to pray regularly, needed to find private places and times so that he could give time to prayer, then how much more do we? If his direction was maintained in prayer, surely that's why I need to pray. If his decisions were given birth in prayer, well, surely I need to pray about the decisions ahead of me. If his determination to do what his Father called him to do was strengthened in prayer, then surely that is where I need to go as well. Look again at our verse. We're told that one of the disciples asked Jesus about prayer. But it's striking to me that he didn't say, "Lord, teach me to pray." He said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Prayer isn't just for keenies. It's not just for some disciples. It's not a spiritual gift that some Christians have but others don't. It's a priority to be learned by us all. So look ahead to verse 2. As Jesus goes on to teach about prayer, he doesn't say, "If you pray." He says, "When you pray." I'd prepared for this morning, but I had a train journey yesterday, and I started to read a book on prayer. Should probably have read it before I prepared my talk, but never mind. But listen to what it said, just in the introduction. That's as far as I got. Modern surveys reveal that evangelical Christians in the UK pray for an average of only 5 minutes a day. The figures for our leaders are not much higher. Church members often regard the congregational prayer meeting as the most unimportant and optional thing. Individuals feeling far from our Saviour commonly admit to chronic prayerlessness. Devotional prayer doesn't seem to be the engine driving many Western lives, ministries, or churches. It's clearly very different in Chinese, African, and South American churches where prayer is a passion. Is prayer our priority? Do we have a regular practice of prayer? Are we seeking out those private places and particular times when we can regularly be alone with God? Are we giving time to prayer as individuals with the rest of our church family, with friends, as married couples if we're married, as families? Do we pray in the good times as well as in the tough times? The way in which you and I answer those questions this morning will be very revealing, because it will reveal how whether we really understand our own personal inadequacy that means we need to rely on God's total adequacy. You see, I read a little phrase in a book recently. It hit me between the eyes. It said this: prayerlessness is just plain arrogance. Prayerlessness is pride. Prayerlessness is me saying to God, I don't need you. I can live my life in my own strength, thank you very much. We may not actually say those words, but that's what we're saying when we're prayerless. Now, as I say this, you may be wanting to shout out at me, Johnny, you don't know how busy my life is. Johnny, you don't know the pressures I'm under at the moment, at work, at home, in my friendships. If that's how you're thinking, can I ask you to think about Jesus again? Do you think the Lord Jesus was any less busy than you? The pressures he felt were greater than the pressures you and I will ever experience. Yet prayer was a priority for him. The greater the pressure we're under, the more we need to pray. One of the reasons why I wanted us to sing that hymn, learn that hymn, is that it has this line: prayer is the secret battleground where victories are won. We are in a spiritual battle, but we'll never get anywhere in that spiritual battle if we're not praying, which is why we need to learn to pray. Now, our circumstances vary. Some of us are single, some married, some employed, some unemployed, some retired, some responsible for the care of others, some facing ongoing health issues with constant appointments. For the young, the younger person in employment, well, there's pressure at work. And then there's the time that gets consumed by just daily chores. The mother of young children will seldom be able to set time of prayer early in the morning because the baby or the young children demand attention even before she awakes. Those of us in midlife discover that the demands on us come both from those who are younger and those who are older than us. But whatever our circumstances, choices can be made about moments in the day, no matter how brief, when time for prayer can be found. The pattern of all our lives is different. But there will be a time that fits with our circumstances if we seek it. Our Bible reading plan that we have as a church is not original to us. It was written first by a man called Robert Murray McShane, who's one of my heroes. But he once said, what someone is alone on their knees before God, that they are and no more. And I would want to urge you, this morning on the first Sunday of the year, are you willing to not say, well, what's the best time for me to pray? But are you willing to say to the Lord Jesus, what is the time that you would choose that I should choose to pray? You see, some of us are sitting here and we sang a song with the children earlier, and it was as early in the morning Jesus rose to pray. And you immediately think, no, I can't do that. I'm not a morning person. That probably means you're an evening person, and I wonder what time you sometimes turn off the telly at night, or you turn off your computer or your, whatever they're called, tablet or whatever you've got. Because doesn't it make sense at the start of every day to do what Jesus did and to get on our knees and say, Father, I cannot get through this day unless you enable me. And yet, actually, in a sense of arrogance, we say, well, no, I can't get up half an hour earlier, so I'm just going to go through life in my own strength. Lastly, though, it's a request made possible by the cross of Jesus. Look again at the verse. Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Now, exactly how John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray, we don't know. My guess would be that he taught them prayers of confession and repentance. But you see, John could not teach them as the Lord Jesus taught them, because John was not the perfect human being. And because John was not going to go to the cross to suffer as the sinner's substitute. But that is what the Lord Jesus became a human being to do. He came to deal with the problem of our prayerlessness. Let me explain it like this. One old writer describes our natural reaction to prayer like this. He writes, our fallen nature is actually allergic to God and never wants to get close to him. Thus, our fallen nature constantly pulls us away from prayer. You see, how are you and I created to live? We were created to live in dependence on our Creator. But how do most of us live? Ignoring our Creator. I read in that book on the train last night about an older, mature Christian. I actually know the person that's being referred to. And he's a very godly man, a man I would respect massively as a disciple of Jesus. And supposedly next to his computer, he has three words. Pray, you fool. He's speaking to himself. A reminder to himself. And you see, here's the point. When I don't pray, I'm a fool. Because I'm living as if God isn't there. When I don't pray, I'm sinning. Because I'm living as though I'm not meant to rely on my Creator, which I am meant to do. And a prayerless life is a sinful life. It is as simple as that. But Jesus came into the world to save us from our folly. Jesus came into the world not just to show us how we ought to live, but then in his perfection, to die on the cross in our place, to take the punishment that we deserve for our folly. And as a result of his death, to open up the way to heaven for us, that we might pray to God as he prayed to God, that we might have the privilege of asking of a loving heavenly Father and receiving the strength and the direction and the help that we need whenever we call. You may be sitting here this morning and you're not yet a disciple of Jesus. Can I simply tell you that becoming a Christian starts with praying? Someone becomes a Christian when they say, "Dear God, I'm sorry I've been living my life as if you're not there. I'm sorry I haven't been a man of, or woman of prayer. I've been a fool. Please forgive me. I trust in Jesus, the man of prayer who went to the cross to die for my sin and to open up the way for me to come to you as he did." If you come to God in prayer like that, he'll hear you. He'll make you a disciple of Jesus. You'll become someone, yes, who then goes through life with your L plates on, learning to live a dependent life on a loving Heavenly Father. Well, our time is gone. When I want to know how to do something, I like to go to an expert, don't you? I've lost it. Go back to this. Who's the expert in prayer? The Lord Jesus. Can I suggest something you do every day in 2014? Start each day saying, "Lord Jesus, teach me to pray." Is that a good thing to do? Then learning the Lord's Prayer is good as well, and we'll say the Lord's Prayer shortly together, as we will every Sunday morning in the next few weeks. Some of us will be sitting here, though, thinking, "Oh, I've tried it. I've made resolutions on other first Sundays of years and to pray more, and I can't keep it up." Well, it is impossible on our own. We can't keep it up. But will you just look at verse 13? It's great, this. Because the Lord Jesus says that as we ask, our Heavenly Father will give us the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit love to help us to do? He loves to help us to pray. So it's not about self-effort. It's about, "Father, help me by your Spirit to pray." We're now going to pray together. And at the conclusion of the prayer in which I lead, we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer. It will both be on the screen, but it's also on the welcome sheet. So if you find it more helpful to have the sheet below you rather than having to look up, then please feel free at that point to follow it there. But let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, your first disciples came to you and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Lord Jesus, we want to make their prayer our prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, we want to humbly sit at your feet as Mary did and learn from you. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you that the Lord Jesus said we can call you our Father. And so we bow humbly before you, wanting to express a true dependence upon you. Father, we first of all need to confess our failure to pray. We admit that none of our excuses hold any water. We confess that often we behave as fools, because even though we do believe you exist and you hear and answer prayer, we live as if you're not there, and we don't pray. Forgive us for the many times when we've gone through a day living as if we don't need you. Forgive us for our pride and arrogance that thinks we have the strength ourselves to do what you call us to do. Forgive us for the many times when we've made decisions without first calling out to you for wisdom. Forgive us for seeking strength and help from other sources rather than seeking the strength that you promise to give as we seek it from you. Father, we thank you for the perfect example of our Lord Jesus. We thank you that he models true humanity to us. We thank you for his life of prayer. And we thank you that he is the one who went to the cross, that there he died in our place, taking the wrath that all our sinful folly deserves, that we might have confident access, knowing that you do hear us as we pray. Father, you know our lives, you know our circumstances. Please, when it comes to this teaching from your word about prayer, may we not be hearers only, but doers also. May we not be those who talk about prayer, but those who actually get on our knees and pray. Father, even today, would you help us to make some choices? Choices that you would call us to make. Choices which means that prayer will become a first priority in our lives day by day. Father, even in praying that, though, we want to recognize that we are totally dependent upon your Spirit. And we ask, therefore, that our choices would be guided by your Spirit and those choices would be enabled by your Spirit. Because we know that we have an enemy who does not want us to pray. Father, what we pray for ourselves individually, we pray for us together as a church. Thank you so much for habits of prayer that you've given this local fellowship, but please, Father, may they not be mechanical habits, but may we rejoice in and delight in the privilege we have of coming to your throne together. Please, would you pour out your Spirit upon us this week during our week of prayer? Please, would you guide us from your word as to how we ought to pray, that we might pray in accordance with your will, and may we be expectant together, and may we see you answering prayer, especially in bringing men and women and boys and girls to you through the Lord Jesus, and therefore able to join us in praying. Father, we pray for each other as this new year unfolds. For some of us, it starts very difficult. And we ask that even now, as we call out to you, you would draw near. Help those who are facing particularly severe trials. Help those who are full of great concern for loved ones and are seeking to care for them. Help those who face massive uncertainty in the coming months. Help those who are seeking employment. And Father, as the year unfolds, none of us knows what the next day will hold, but we thank you that as we call out to you day by day, that you have promised to give us each day what each day needs. May we trust you for our daily bread each day. Father, we'd also remember to pray for our mission partners throughout the world. We name before you Stuart and Sandra, Nick and Tamsin, Jerry and Joy, Chris and Roz, John and Lisa, Steve Down. Father, draw near to them today. Help them to pray today. And please, Father, direct and strengthen them in all the work that you've given them to do. Father, please hear us now as we join together in the words our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and forever. Amen. Sometimes we worry, do I have the right words to pray? Use the Lord's Prayer. And don't worry about having the right words. Speak out loud to the Lord. Who else do you speak to in your head? We can speak out loud to him and it helps. And one of the best ways to really learn how to pray is to listen to others praying at prayer meetings. It's a great place to learn to pray. So why not come to some of the sessions of the week of prayer this week?